during our annual meeting of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting, ran into my good friend and the man that all of you know in our listening area, Max Armstrong, and an opportunity to just kind of visit a little bit. As we look at the harvest season, which is wrapped up now, pretty good yields about everywhere. Even though you, as you say, are officially retired, you're still rather busy and doing a lot of traveling and keeping your toe in the mix, can we say, of agriculture. What are you hearing as far as farmers' comments?
Well, obviously, everybody wants to see improvement in price, commodity price, understandably, and elevated costs are still elevated. You know, inflation is still very much a demon. It's going to be for a while, but, you know, there's a change of administration. Some are optimistic, some are upset about things, but I guess the thing that comes to mind for me, having talked with a lot of farmers, is they were thankful for some pretty good yields, especially on beans. Early planted beans seem to perform rather well for many of the farmers that I talked to this year. So that provides more of an impetus, I guess, to get in, get soybeans in early if they can next year and try to take advantage of that opportunity. So many folks have already ordered their seed, already prepared for 2025 in that regard. Then they have some serious discussions this winter over, you know, what you're going to do for the next season. Maybe some discussions over family living expenses. You know, with things as tight as they are, that means that some of those talks over the kitchen table have to be a little more serious as you decide, okay, maybe we can't take this vacation. Maybe this is an expenditure for remodeling the house that we're going to have to wait for a season or two. That's agriculture. That's the way the industry has been historically, as you know, Mike.
From some of the lenders that I have talked to, they don't paint a dark picture, but they do say, as you have just basically indicated, many farmers are going to have to tighten the belt and sharpen the pencil.
You know, I talked to a lender just a few weeks ago about this very subject, and he said, the most important thing for me as a lender is that line of communication. He said, the worst thing for me is to have a surprise from the farmer, something that maybe he didn't share or she didn't openly share when they came to sit down with me, and just, you know, keep talking to us. Keep talking to us at the bank about how your situation is, how you look, you know your cost of production, know where you stand on that, and just keep the line of communication open.
Well, certainly it was good news that we did have good yields, both corn and soybeans, almost nationwide, certainly areas that were not as good as others. But again, the prices, everybody's hoping those will get better.
Yeah, and of course, we're all playing the guessing game now, you know, the sweepstakes on the various other appointments in Washington that come into play. And it always depends. You know, you and I have seen a lot of different personalities in that ag secretary's job, and there have been some administrations where the EPA administrator actually has more impact on farmers than the Secretary of Agriculture does, depending on how the White House operates. So you have to look at a variety of positions, Food and Drug Administration, some parts of the country, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is larger than life and making decisions that affect farmers. So, there's a whole picture that has to be watched. One thing that I felt, though, after this last election, and I really believe it is true, farmers are not one issue voters. They don't necessarily go in and vote their pocketbook necessarily. There were so many other things that came into play, I think, in this voting. Energy policy, inflation tied to it, which are pocketbook issues, but, you know, security, safety, crime, those are things that resonate on the rural or out, just as they do in the cities.
Well, it's certainly good to see you, and my best to your lovely wife, Linda, and wish you and your family, even though it's early, a very happy holiday season and a prosperous new year. Maxie, thank you. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, sir. Take care of yourself, Michael.
The 110th annual Illinois Farm Bureau meeting is kicking off now at the Palmer House in Chicago. According to information I received yesterday, about 2,000 people have registered, a 250-person increase from last year. 331 voting delegates will set policy this coming Monday, and today, 26 are scheduled to compete in the Young Leader Discussion Meet. Also, over the weekend, 13 micro-talks will take place in person. So, a lot of things going on, and there'll be a lot of discussion, I'm sure, about the proposed organizational strategy program on previous programs. I've had information about the organizational strategy, why they were doing it, what they hoped to accomplish. Now, as we move along with the early bird this morning, some comments from IFB President Brian Duncan and also Lindsey Ramsey, who is director of the Organizational Strategy Program.
Let's start way back at the beginning, what, 2.5 years ago? Longer than that. The board has been talking about what does the future hold for Illinois Farm Bureau. We're facing some demographic realities that we all are aware of. There's fewer farmers. Our members are aging. I mean, I think as we did some of the initial surveys, I'll probably bungle these numbers, Lindsey, but I think we have more members over the age of 85 than we do under 35, something like that. That's a frightening reality. And as we come to grips with some of those demographic challenges, we started to ask ourselves, how do we lay the groundwork for the next 100 years of success? And what does that look like? And how is that going to be defined for this organization? And so that took us on a journey in which we really started looking at everything we do as an organization. And the board started looking at it from an Illinois Farm Bureau standpoint. We just started asking ourselves a lot of questions, with really not coming up with a lot of answers, but just looking at things. And we decided that this, of course, would need to be a grassroots process. And so that led, you know, we did surveys, thousands of survey responses. We ended up putting together committees, advisory committees, subcommittees of grassroots members, did focus groups. Lindsey, I think you traveled. Did you travel to every district, every county?
I covered every district, yeah.
Every district, listening to the members about what they were expecting from an organization. And as we heard these things, and as we heard challenges, we listened to managers about, okay, well, you know, one of the challenges we've got is we've got some manager turnover that's greater than I would like to see. I'm the beneficiary of a long-term stable county manager. Had a great influence on me, and I know the benefit of that. And so manager turnover is an issue. We've got some aging infrastructures that are issues. We heard a lot about issues. And so then we started this with this grassroots campaign process to, okay, give me some, what are some ideas on how to solve these issues? And what are some ideas of what members are going to want in the future? It is really interesting, the generational differences. I'm a boomer, and we and the generations ahead of us think a little differently about what we expect in an organization. We join. We just join. That's what we do. We join. Well, the generations coming after us don't just join. As you read books about what they want, they have expectations. They're not just going to join for the sake of joining. They want it to have meaning and have purpose. And so we knew as we did our research, we were going to have an organization that met those needs. And so I think that lays some of the groundwork for why we started tackling some of these big issues and moving in this process. Lindsey, what did I leave out?
No, that's great. I think looking back is really helpful. And even just looking back from last annual meeting to this annual meeting, it feels like we have been sprinting. Maybe it doesn't feel like that to everyone, but we set some big goals at the beginning of 2024. We knew we had to collect a lot of data. We had to make sure that we weren't just surveying people, but we were talking to them. We went out to district meetings to have those conversations, and some of them difficult conversations. But we also knew we needed to really identify what of the challenges President Duncan just mentioned, what are the ones that are really concerning to us, and how do we want to start to address those? And so we prioritized those. We got subcommittees going. And we have released now a roadmap for the next 3 years to talk about how are we going to tackle some of these challenges and work together to try out some new things and try to better position our organization for the future.
As I mentioned earlier, I'm sure there'll be a lot of discussion this weekend during this meeting on the new organizational strategy initiative. But that's our time for the early bird this morning. I'm glad you joined us. Hope you will again next Saturday. And as I always say, have a good weekend. I'm Mike Perrine.